Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gene Mack, and I'm coming to you from Blog Talk Radio on behalf of COMFEST. That's COMFEST Global Communications Film Festival. COMFEST Global Communications Film Festival. And if you don't know much about COMFEST, they're an international film festival with a local flavor. It happens every year in the St. Lawrence Market area. And they provide to you and for you one of the more international and social and cultural film festivals you'll find in Canada. But let's get on with the show. My name is Gene Mack, as I said, and I'm bringing to you the world of sports from week to week. And I let people call in and vent or write in and vent or email me in and vent. Venting is the key thing on my show. Let me know what you really think about it. And because of the National Hockey League playoffs this past week, most of the questions were about hockey and about the playoffs and about our beloved Leafs. And about our not necessarily beloved, but our fellow countrymen, the Vancouver Canucks. Well, the most asked question this past week was Shanahan. What did I think about Shanahan's call? Now, most of you know that Montreal Canadian Eller was hit by a young Ottawa player named Greiba. And he was given a two-game suspension for the hit because it was supposedly done to the head. Although the hit didn't start at the head, and it's been one of the more legal hits I've seen, or to be honest with you, almost anyone has seen in the last few years, you know. Unfortunately, Ella was hurt. So Shanahan suspended Greiba. Now, the question is, or the question I got the most, do I think Shanahan's suspension was necessary or warranted? Do I think it was necessary? No. Do I think it was warranted? No. Do I think it had to be done because of the uproar and the newspaper articles and speculation and talk that followed? Yeah, I kind of do. Shanahan is not necessarily his own man. He works for the National Hockey League. And believe me, he's not going to do anything that gripes or makes it difficult for the National Hockey League to hold up his head. Bettman wanted the suspension, I'd probably imagine, and he got the suspension because it put hockey in a goon-like position or light after the hit. You know, blood on the ice and concussed players laying on the ice for 5 or 10 minutes will do that to a game. But the good old hockey fans, the ones that have seen it all or seen most of it, remember hits like that from Stevenson from the New Jersey Devils game after game in the previous hockey wars that was called the Race to the Stanley Cup. But that's all right. Another thing, Crosby returned. And the question most asked about Crosby's return was, did I think or do we think Crosby is needed in the first round? Well, I didn't know after Pittsburgh won the first game, but since then the series has been tied up 2-2, and I say Crosby is needed. Oh, by the way, last night he got hit in the face with another puck. Oh, man. But he had protective mask on, and it was actually a little lower around his breastplate or chest plate and neck, and it turned out to be just a scare. But Crosby is needed because the Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins are tied 2-2 in the series. And who wins that one? It's winner take all, but I'm going to say the Penguins are going to find a way because I got them going into the semifinals. I got them going into the semifinals. Ovechkin has been playing really well. And I had a few questions about Ovechkin. And to all of you, all of those who said he was washed up, and believe me, more than a few commentators about a week to 2 weeks before the season was over said his best days were behind him. Well, I don't know if you get him to say it now. You probably couldn't get him to say it anyway, anytime soon either. Because Washington is being playing well. They've been playing well for the last 3 weeks, actually. The 2 weeks going into the playoffs and this last week or week and 10 days of the playoffs. Although they are going to be challenged because yesterday or last night, the Rangers won. Rangers finally took a game. So Washington is still leading 2-1, but Ovechkin is he's up to his old tricks and his old self. He's playing very well, and it looks like that's a toss-up. A month ago, I would have taken the New York Rangers. Right now, I don't know. That's a toss-up. Bet wisely. If you're betting, bet wisely. But tonight, we just got a score from the game. The Leafs are leading 1-0 against the Bruins at Maple Leaf Gardens. So the Leafs are ahead for right now, and let's hope they hold that lead and go on and take Boston back to Boston tied 2-2. That would be really good for this city and for that team. I didn't get many questions about the Vancouver Canucks because at the time they were still in the playoffs. Well, last night they lost, and they're no longer in the playoffs. So what do you think about that? But the questions I did get concerning the team was Luongo. What did I think about Luongo? Well, I'd need an hour and a couple of stiff shots of whiskey to tell you what I really think. I think Vancouver started this kerfuffle by openly trying to trade him and then not trading him. You know, Snyder is one of their better players, but Luongo is one of their better players also. Supposedly their best players, the Sedin twins, didn't play well at all. But they haven't played well in a playoff in, try, 2 or 3 years. Alain Vigneault might lose his job because he could not get the players that play around the Sedins or the Sedins themselves up to speed in the playoffs. Their problem is that they don't play a playoff-type hockey. Playoff-type hockey is a little tougher, a little more committed, a little grittier, and a lot more determined than the Sedins are willing to put in or they're capable of putting in. You know, they are regular season hockey players, and they can put up 80, 90, 100 points, both of them. But when it comes to the playoff where points are at a premium, and you got to go into the corner and you got to get the puck and you got to bring the puck out or pass the puck out and you got to have somebody standing in front of the net that's willing to take a beating and you got to have somebody that's willing to beat people in front of the net to stop them from scoring. You know, and that's not their game. It has never been their game. And it's a funny thing, but the game was lost last night on a boarding penalty given to Sedin. And that's unfortunate because that might have been his best hit all year. You know, he's not a hitter, and he'll never be a hitter. Neither one of the twins will ever be hitters. They're scorers, they're finesse players, and they don't go down where it's dirty. Now, in the latter years of their career, they might change that and might decide to, well, if I'm going to get beat up, I might as well get beat up, providing some assistance and help for my team. Because they get beat up. It's not that they don't get hit. It's not that they don't get punished like any other hockey player on ice. It's just that they don't like it and they don't accept it and they try to shy away from it instead of embracing it and say, well, I'm going to take this one for the team. They don't want to take it for the team. Consequently, they're always making that little step to the side or that little half step. Sometimes you got to stand in there and take one, and it hurts. But that's neither here nor there. Add that to the fact that the Vancouver Canucks spent their whole year, their entire pastime, was deciding on the correct compensation for Luongo. You know, we want this, and we want two forwards, and we want young centers, and we want six draftees, and we want three draftees, and we want a first and second rounder, and we want at least a first or second line center, and a second or third line defenseman. Hey, none of that worked. They didn't get anything for it. And if you line all of the Canucks up against the wall and start taking out the ones that didn't play well, I don't know. Luongo might be in the top three of playing well players. He would be the second or the third player, I don't know about the first, to remain. You know, I do think Kessler played very well and a few other guys, Bieksa, but that's neither here nor there. The bottom line is their front office kept this an issue much too long. Their front office made it difficult for the players on the ice to not forget about it and to move on to other things. The front office, made this an issue from day one, the opening of the late season, all the way to the final goal of the final game they played. And unfortunately, Snyder gave up a rebound, and rebound control is the enemy to all goalies, and it was put in, and they lost. Plain and simple, they lost. But they put too much emphasis, and the press had too much emphasis, and the city had too much time to think about whether Luongo was necessary, needed, and what we're going to get for him. Well, he was necessary and needed because he was your best goalie in the playoffs. And each one of them lost two. So, you know, that's just the way it is. I don't know if Vigneault can escape this burden. His general manager put him under the gun, and it cost them maybe a first-round exit because they are no longer with us, and they're out of here, and good riddance to bad rubbish. Boy, I'm going to get a few lines about that one. No, I got nothing against Vancouver. I got nothing. In fact, there's some of their players I like quite a bit. One of the main figures with the Sharks was Torres. Rafi played very well. Grit and determination wins playoff hockey games. And unfortunately, the Sharks had a lot more of it than the Canucks did. One thing about game one, which the Leafs lost, going back even farther, going back to this time last week, they lost that game because they showed no determination, no grit. They could go in the corner with a dozen eggs and come out with 11 of them uncracked. Boy, I will tell you the truth. They didn't play well at all. They showed no stick-to-itiveness. They showed no team camaraderie. They just took a beating. But then they turned around, and they won a game. And then they turned around, and they lost another one. But they're playing tonight, and they're leading 1-0. I don't know if that score will hold up. It would be nice if Reimer could put a goose egg up on the board, stand on his head. And I got a few questions about Reimer. What do I think about Reimer? I think he's playing very well. And I think the team and him deserve kudos, especially if they take this to 7 games, which they very well might. You never can tell. But I do know one thing. If they win tonight, I will be that much more impressed with the whole team. I've already been impressed by the team time and time again when I thought the tent was about to fold and they were going to go home. But this is not Wilson's Toronto Maple Leafs. This is Carlisle's Toronto Maple Leafs. And believe me, they got a lot more grit. They got a lot more determination. And they seem to be wanting to be coached. And that's an important thing when you're playing in a professional sport. And we're coming to you tonight from ComFest, Global Community Film Festival. And most of you who don't know anything about ComFest, it's a film festival whose forte is social and cultural issues. They've been about social and cultural issues for the last 6 years. If you have a film that you think might be capable of being judged and shown in the film festival, it can be a short, it can be anything from 5 minutes to 45 minutes to an hour. But they are right now at this present time accepting nominations and accepting films. So if you want to put a film in or you think you might be able to at least show a film and you want to find out where or how it will be judged, all you have to do is go to COMMFFEST.com, ComFest.com, or ComFest Global Film Festival.com. And you will be able to present your project or present your film. And we'll get back to you because the show starts in, the festival starts in September. And I say the show because it's the big show. But it starts in September. So we've got about another month and a half before the deadline. You can nominate anyone in your neighborhood or organization for the MADA Award, which is a community award given out to people in your community, regardless of where your community is. If you have a community forward-thinking individual in Lapland, in Finland, in Mesopotamia, Montenegro, wherever, you know, from the Middle East to the Bering Straits, get their name in. Get some information on what they've done, and we'll see if we can sit down and find out if they're interested in receiving an MADA award. And that's a community and an international award given out by ComFest, Global Film Festival, and it's given out to people who we think make a difference in our community, in our society, and in our world. Franson has just scored the least sucking goal. All right. Are we living on money? Ha ha. We got money. Oh, man, I'm telling you the truth. It's great to see those young kids step up. And Franson has had a good year. He's played well. And he was one of the more maligned players in previous regimes. And he was up and down in American Hockey League, back and forth between the Leafs and the American Hockey League. And it's a good thing to see that he is finally being rewarded and the Leafs are finally being rewarded for sticking to him and him sticking to them. But we're up 2 goals, and that's a good thing. So let's get back to some of the sports this week. Another thing by the way, we're only going to be on for 30 minutes tonight because of the extended playoff season, both in hockey and in basketball. And speaking of basketball, I want to talk to you about the NBA. The NBA had a really sterling week last week, and it ended up the New York Knickerbockers won. They beat Boston, of course. Indiana beat Atlanta. OKC finally wiped the dirt off of their shoes and got Houston out of the way. And Memphis, as I predicted, beat the Clippers. Now, I love the Clippers. I like the Chris Paul a whole bunch. But Memphis is the only old-school basketball team in the NBA. And by old-school, I mean they do it the hard way. They bring the ball down, they sit it up, they throw it down low, and the postman turns and puts it in somebody's face. Old-school. They shoot a jumper, and three people go to the board to get the rebound. They get the rebound, and they put it back up, and they either get fouled or they make the shot. And we're not talking about their slammers and jammers. They're not. They're not dunk artists. They're old-school, lay-it-up-off-the-backboard kind of guys because none of them got no real hops. Like Randolph got no hops. Gasol's brothers got no hops. They don't have hops. What they have is determination. They'd make pretty good hockey players right about this time. But anyway, I said last week that Memphis has about as much chance as San Antonio or OKC to come out of the West. At the time, I'd say they would be playing the Miami Heat. And the Miami Heat promptly lost their first game in the playoffs to the Chicago Bulls. And you say, what? Without Rose? Well, somebody stepped up for Rose. His name is Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson is a pint-sized basketball player that has been filling a hoop up. Give me a break, will you, please? He's been going on the average of 30 points a night, and he's making big shots. He's making tough shots. He's making last-minute shots. He's making critical shots. He's just making shot after shot after shot. And guess what? They come in, and they beat the Miami Heat. Now, do I think Miami is going to succumb to the Chicago Bulls? I got better sense than that. Although I will be surprised if Chicago continues to play them as tough, because then that would take this from a 5 or 6 game series to a 7 game series. And I don't know if Chicago's got the mustard to do that. But kudos go out to Nate Robinson, man. He's really stepped up. They got him a year or so ago for a song, and he seems to have realized that this might be his last hoorah, although after playing the way he's played, if he does leave Chicago, somebody else will realize him coming off their bench or him being inserted in their lineup to help these young kids and teach them the meaning of fortuitous effort and hard-won fight. Hey, he'll get another opportunity somewhere. But if Rose was there, I could smell upset. Does that mean Rose coming back? I don't know, Rose's family and his doctor and everybody north of the loop say Rose is not coming back. Although I'll tell you what, if they get past Miami, Rose will be out there like everybody else. Oh, I'm miraculously here. I'm losing a... If Rose come back, I will lose some faith, some gratitude, some moral awareness for him as an individual and a player. You know, if you're going to play, come play. If you're not going to play, stop talking about it. Nobody needs to hear that. You're hurt, you're hurt. If you're not hurt, get your butt out there and play. Other than that, leave it alone. But kudos out to Nate Robinson. And the New York Nets, man, I mean, not the Nets. Yeah, well, the Nets lost. They lost to the Bulls. And I didn't expect much of the Nets. I thought they would get by the Bulls because the Bulls were playing undermanned. But that wasn't the case. But the New York Knicks were playing Indiana. And they're tied 1-1 right now. And we'll know tomorrow night how that goes and the furtherance of that series. But I think the Knicks will will take the series, actually. And if they don't, it's because Indiana is just tougher. That'd be the only reason. There are only two tough basketball teams in the NBA these days. That's the Indiana Pacers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah, Vancouver, you got one ex-team that's still kicking it. But that's neither here nor there. Miami should take Chicago. San Antonio should take Golden State, but it'll be a fight. Because Golden State and Curry, boy, they putting up some points. They putting up points, man. Curry looks so good. You know, they bypassed this kid for the NBA All-Star game, and we talked about it on our show at the time that we thought Curry should be there. Well, he's proven he should be there, and he's proven that he might be one of the top ballot or vote-getters in the next balloting for the All-Star team, which will be this time, November of this coming year. Well, Golden State hasn't won anything, but they've definitely been playing well. OKC is being taken to task by Memphis. I don't know why, but I do know why. Westbrook is not there. And when your best player or your second best player or your best facilitator is gone, which was Westbrook, OKC is at a handicap. And Kevin Durant, KD, he's become guard. He's become forward. He's become scorer. He's become facilitator and passer. And he can't do it all because the other guys aren't capable of adding to their roles. He could do it all if when he steps up, they step up. But they've been missing shots. The other night, Ibaka missed one under the basket to tie the damn game that would have won it. And I wonder, you know, and this was a two-footer, ladies and gentlemen. All he had to do is lay it in. He had time. He had two or three seconds. He misses it. He lays on the ground. And they go into overtime, and the next thing you know, they lost. But I don't think KC has got it without Westbrook. Westbrook was their team. And he isn't their best player, but he's the best player to make all the other players good. All the other players suffer without him. And Kevin Durant can't do it all because he has no Kevin Durant to pass it to. If he had a Kevin Durant to pass it to, it would be totally different. Totally different. Oh, one more thing. And then we'll probably be going because that'll be the end of our time for tonight. I want to send kudos out to the Montreal Canadiens because under very stressful conditions, they are playing. You know, they lost Eller. Gianta's been playing with one arm. Price just got hurt, and he's out. And they've had a couple other players. They've had a couple other players who've been down. And they did the best they could. Ottawa, meanwhile, because of their ability to stick together all year and play well together all year, it is coming to the fore at this particular time of the year. They have had stress from the second week of the start of the season, and they've overcome that, and they're going to overcome the Montreal Canadiens. They're going to beat them. But Canadiens started big, and they finished poorly. But that's the way it is when you have injuries. The Ottawa Senators, they've had good team all year, and not because they're the best scorers, not because they're the best defensive players, not because they got the best goalie. It's because they got a combination of all those things combined, and when one doesn't show up, the other two do. You know, Anderson has been a great goalie, and the kid before Anderson that they shipped down to Florida, he did well. You know, Ottawa is going to be ready. I just hope the Leafs got enough mustard to end up with them playing them in the playoffs. Well, it's been a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to talk to you. Every week and every night we have sports. And I'm just bringing you some ideas that you can call me up on, challenge me about, or challenge your friends about. All I know is that the Toronto Maple Leafs are in the playoffs, and they're leading at this present point of the fourth game of the playoffs. They're leading 2-0. It might have changed by now, but that's all right. You guys have a good week, and I'll come to you next week. We'll talk probably more hockey and more basketball. And the Blue Jays have won 2 games. Hallelujah.